just decided here at our church, this is my heart, that we just took 10 weeks to get us past the election and do some good series, good sermon, and not talk about the election, because y'all are getting probably about as much as you can have from the election outside the building. So we weren't going to focus on it in here. I do think you ought to pray about who you vote for and vote and then trust God. But here at the chapel, if you go here, you know this. But for those who are new, those who are visiting, I very, very much want to preach the gospel to everyone. I don't want to preach the gospel to any one political party or anybody who supports any one particular candidate. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. So if you are Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Libertarian, if you're left, right, up, down, shake it all about, if you're a pity party, wherever you fit politically, this is your home church. We don't do politics in here. Just get educated and vote. And if anybody here is bugging you about politics and trying to campaign or do anything, just let me know, because this is a politics-free zone. We don't do that here. Other than that, pray. It's serious, huh? Pray. Vote. Everybody ought to be registered to vote, and you ought to vote. And then just trust God. We'll end this series. This series will end the Sunday after the election, and I guarantee you, no matter who wins the election, we're going to have church right here, we're going to do worship in the Word, and we'll all be okay. So, open your Bibles now to Exodus chapter 20. We're doing a series called 10. We're focusing on the 10 commandments, counting down from 10 to 1. When people hear about the 10 commandments, a lot of times the first thing that comes to their mind is these three words: thou shalt not. That's what you think about when you hear the commandments. And nobody wants to be told that. I mean, no teenager wants to hear the parents say, thou shalt not. It just kind of brings rebellion inside their hearts. You don't want to say that to your spouse, thou shalt not. And so when people think of the Ten Commandments, they think negative, they think don'ts. And what we're finding out, that it's not really about don'ts, it's about worship issues. Every one of these that we're dealing with is a worship problem. We have a worship dysfunction in one of these areas. And the Ten Commandments has taken us through each one of these issues. It's a big deal. I think the Ten Commandments ought to be a series that churches do every now and then, just to remind ourselves. Because look what was happening. The Israelites were delivered. They were saved from bondage. They were saved from slavery. Rescued. Delivered. And then God didn't just say, here's the world, I delivered you, go have fun, guys, I'll see you when you die. Because he knew they needed some boundaries. And so he sat them down and said, look, guys, here's 10 things, very important things that I want you to hear. So if you're a Christian today, you've been saved, you've been delivered from bondage, from slavery, these 10 things are still a big deal. And God wants to say to you today, I'm not just going to set you free, have fun. Here's some very important things, some 10 things that we need to talk about. We talked about coveting, greed, basically. And I gave you 3 immunization shots. Not literally, but I gave you 3 shots to combat greed. One was to give more. You combat greed by giving more. You come against greed by choosing contentment. And you come against greed by, as our sign says, always be thankful. Always have a thankful heart. Last week we talked about lying and all the different ways that we lied. We said that Satan was the father of lies, the Bible tells us, but God is the father of truth. So when I tell the truth or I lie, I'm showing who's your daddy. I'm showing who my father is at that moment. When I lie, I'm following Satan. We talked about how half lies are just full lies. There's no half lie. Gossip can be lying. And we decided that we would, in our hearts, always tell the truth. And now this week we focus on number 8, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says this: you must not steal. Well, that's pretty obvious. You must not steal. Most of you are going to say, well, that doesn't really concern me. And you're already thinking of ways you can leave early. I'm going to pretend my phone rings. I'm going to pretend I have to use the restroom or something and sneak out the back and beat everybody out to lunch because I'm not a thief. That's what you're thinking. I'm just asking you, hang in there. This is going to touch all of us. Stealing can be defined as taking another person's property without his or her permission. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. There is the stereotypical thief. The typical, stereotypical thief. You put on that little black eye mask and nobody knows who you are. And maybe you're breaking into a house or breaking into McDonald's or breaking into a car, stealing something, a business, taking. Now, probably I'm not talking to anybody who really fits that model. I'm not sure, maybe. But probably you are not that type of thief. If you are, I'll just give you this verse and we'll move on. Ephesians 4:28. If you are a thief, quit stealing. It's pretty clear. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. So most people aren't that kind of thief. Most people, but what we do is we steal in ways that maybe we don't think are a big deal. And I just want to talk about it today because it is a big deal. Stealing is a big deal, and there's a lot of ways that we do steal. It's in the big 10. It begins by this, by having a misunderstanding of our boundaries. Who I am, where I begin, where I end, where someone else begins, and where they end. People having proper boundaries. It's understanding what belongs to me, what does not belong to me, what belongs to another person. And coveting goes along with this. When I covet somebody else's stuff, then I may steal. And we have to understand what belongs to me is a blessing from God. Look, most all of us here, if you're here, you're listening to me, you have the breath of life in you. You're able to get up. You may have a job. Maybe you're retired and you did have a job. You've got some income coming in. God is blessing you. If you're listening to me, I can almost guarantee you, you are more blessed than most of the people who live on the face of this earth. We complain a lot about what we don't have, but in reality, we are very, very blessed people. Psalm 23, the very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, not all that I want. I don't know anybody that has all they want, because have you ever noticed when you get what you want, you just want something else? And as soon as you get that, you want something else again. So you will never, ever have all that you want. But we do have all that we need. So we trust God. We're thankful for what we have. Work hard. You ought to work hard to achieve. And success. Nothing wrong with success. And gaining more while you are successful. Work hard. Thank God. And respect other people. This verse, Luke 6:31. One you know. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Is there anyone here that would like to be stolen from? Anybody want to be? I just can't wait. Nobody wants to be stolen from, this Bible verse tells me. So then I should not steal from others. Do to others as you would have others do unto you. I don't want anybody stealing from me. So I am not going to steal from others. Let's talk about certain ways that we steal. And I'll hit some that don't apply to you at all. And then I'll hit some that do apply to you. So some you will say amen. Some you will say oh me. Just depends on which way you are. Employees can steal from their employers. And we have people here in our church that are employees and people who are employers. Employees steal from their bosses and their jobs and their corporations. Maybe it's just little things. They won't miss this. They won't miss that. Maybe it's actually taking some property, taking something that really doesn't belong to you. But they're probably the way we steal more from our employers is just by not working hard. By being lazy, by slacking off, by giving as little as possible, coming late, leaving early, doing as little as you can. And then don't you know employers, don't you know that the people sometimes they're doing as little as they can. They're the first ones complaining about a pay raise. First ones complaining about your pay. I don't get paid enough. And yet you're not really working. When you signed on to work for that company, God now expects you to do your very, very best. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, it says slaves, but you know it's not talking about slavery as we have experienced in our country and other countries. It's really talking about boss, employee. Obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And then watch this. He says in verse 24, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. When you work the Lord's way, when you work as if you are working for the Lord, you may or may not get that pay raise, but you will be blessed by God. There will be an inheritance waiting for you because you have done it the right way. Now, to be more practical, if you are the one who's working like this, you're the one who's going to work as if you are serving the Lord, you're the one that's going to do your very best, you're probably going to get the pay raise. You're probably going to get the promotion. Because you will stand out. Have you noticed the workforce in America today? Not many people are really working that hard. But they're complaining a lot. And so employees, we steal from our employers if we're not serving well as unto the Lord. But employers also steal from their employees. There are employers who refuse to pay a fair wage, who complain about paying a fair wage, who find every way possible to pay you. Now, employees, you get to say amen. Find every way to pay you as less as they can, to give you as few benefits as they possibly can. Maybe paying people under the table, maybe giving business in a different place. Employers are being dishonest. Here's what the Bible says to you, employers. James 5, 1 through 4. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. For listen, look at this, verse 4. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages you held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. Employers, there are plenty of bosses, plenty of corporations who are getting what I would call sinfully rich. More and more and more, not taking care of their employees. Not blessing, not sharing the blessings, but hoarding it up at the top. Well, that is stealing. You are stealing from the employees. Okay, now I just told you two sides, and it's two sides of a political argument. And there are people on the left who argue one way and people on the right argue on the way. And just like we do in America, anytime there's something to argue about, someone goes to the extreme left and someone goes to the extreme right, and we just yell at each other. So let's just forget all that. Let me just bring it home to you. I'm not talking politically, I'm talking personally. Are you an employee? Then you better not be doing this. You better be serving well and not stealing from your employer. Are you an employer? Then you are responsible to God how you treat your employees. If we have Christian workers and Christian bosses living like this, man, those are the employees you want, and those are the employers you want to work for. And we ought to be known for that, for those things. Stealing. We're stealing if we're getting anything for free that I'm supposed to be paying for. We are stealing from the owners. Many years ago, I worked at one of the largest two or three churches in the whole country. And a very large music department. Had a choir director, he was the head of the department, and an orchestra director. And then I was the assistant, the third guy. I was just out of college and just an assistant to the guys. I don't know if you've ever noticed, when we do our worship songs, down here at the bottom, we'll always put on there who wrote the song, the copyright information, and our CCLI number. I'll explain that. When I worked at this really large church, there were no monitors. We were one of the first churches in the country to do the screen thing. So we had the screen up there. But there was this room that the music department had where it was just all the paper, because everything was copied. All the worship songs, all the choir songs, all the orchestrations, everything was copied on paper. Well, the Catholic Church does this thing that I wasn't raised Catholic, so I didn't know this happened, but I guess they will have one bulletin that every Catholic church in the entire nation sees, the same bulletin every Sunday morning. I don't know if they still do that. And there's a song we sang back then. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. They printed the words of that song in the bulletin in every Catholic church across the nation of America. The author of that song lives in Germany. It's his possession. I don't know if you know, but when someone writes a song, they own that song. It's their possession. And they, if you're just a songwriter for a living, that's how you make money, royalties. And so that's really illegal for the Catholic Church to do that. Now, back then in the church world, no one stood up to that until this guy. And he sued the Catholic Church and won because that was his property and they had to pay him a settlement. That started the whole deal now of making sure that we give credit when worship songs. And we are actually part of this thing called CCLI now. We pay a yearly fee for whatever size church you are. It's not a lot of money. And we put their information up there. If we use their song during a certain period, we report it and the songwriter gets royalties. Somewhere there are people singing. I'm a songwriter. I've written a few. We used to sing more. And somewhere somebody still sings my songs every now and then, somewhere, because I'll get a royalty check from CCLI. And it's always a big deal. We'll get this royalty check in the mail. You know, only get it like once every 2 years or whatever. And we'll, oh, CCLI royalty check. And we'll joke about how much is in it. And it's usually about $13.73, you know. Somebody has sung a song somewhere. And I don't even know who's singing them, but somebody out there singing songs. Well, at this church, when that happened, fear went out across America. And since we were one of the largest churches in America, we figured we would get sued. So being the third person on the music staff, it was my job for about 2 weeks to do nothing but shred paper. I went into that room and just everything that had been illegally copied, we had to shred. And then from then on, you have to. And some of you would say, why would they do that? It's worship. I understand that. But if you were the songwriter, you'd have a different story. And if you were the songwriter and that's how you were making your living, you'd probably go, yeah, I should get those royalties. So you do what's right. If there's any kind of illegal downloading or illegal copying, I don't know, do people still do this today? Remember when people used to climb telephone poles to get cable for free? Do people still do that? I don't know if they do or not. That's stealing. Some of you are going, oh, yeah, we do that. That's stealing. You don't do that. Something you should be paying for. I don't know if you steal Wi-Fi. You can't afford Wi-Fi, so you just steal other people's Wi-Fi. Something you should be paying for that you're getting for free. Anybody remember this movie? Anybody see this movie when it first came out? It wasn't called, oh, there it went. Boy, it went really fast. The computer's glitching, guys. It's a bad computer thing. Before they even called it Indiana Jones, it was just Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's the first one that came out. When I was in college, I was in a music group. And the director, who was a professor at the college, said, hey, guys, come on over to the house. We're going to have movie night. I said, okay, cool. So the whole group, we just went over to the house. And what are we going to watch? He said, well, there's this movie. It's not out yet, but I pirated it. I got an illegal copy. This is the professor at the Bible college. So we as a group, we're going to watch this movie. Well, I had gone to Bible college with a real conviction that it was time for me to become a real Christian. It was time for me, personally, it was my own conviction, I needed to set a new standard for myself. And so that was wrong. And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to sit outside. I don't really feel like watching the movie. I just made an excuse. I didn't give a big speech. I just said, I'm going to sit outside. And a few of them came out and sat out with me because, you know what, that was illegal. That was wrong. And he was a professor and he should have not done that. If you're downloading anything illegally, music, games, whatever it is, you're not paying the royalties. You might not think it's a big deal. Everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter if some other church is not reporting CCLI. If another church jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? You don't do that. Whatever they're doing out there, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Even if everybody else is doing it. Okay, what if you're just trying to sell something. Maybe you're selling something on Craigslist, on eBay, your car, your home. You're not being honest. You're kind of fudging on the details to get more money. It's stealing. And the Bible says, don't steal. I know there's a lot of that going on eBay, but can I tell you somewhere else it's going on? It's going on with evangelists. Because they do it all the time. You ever seen an evangelist get up and try to, guilt you out of money, more and more money? If you don't give me more money right now, we may have to go off the air. The television evangelist used to say that all the time. If you don't send in your $1,000, we may have to shut our program down right now. And I would just go, good. Click. Baseball. Let's watch baseball. Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, used to get these letters. And he had one of the largest churches in the world back then. Back then, they didn't do satellite churches. I figured it out. If Chuck Smith had called the churches he started in Southern California a satellite churches like they do now, they have churches that are satellite churches of 30,000 people. If Chuck would have done that, he'd have had a satellite church of about 100,000 people in Southern California. He would get these letters, Dear Charles, and he'd always joke with us and say, first of all, no one ever calls me Charles. Dear Charles, I'm praying for you. And he'd just laugh and go, no, you're not. It's a form letter. But then the letter would say, if you just had the faith to send me $1,000, I believe God would bless you next month with tenfold. You'd have $10,000 in your bank account. And Chuck would write him back and say, I believe the same for you, brother. If you will just send me $1,000, God will bless you, and you won't have to write these letters anymore. These evangelists, pastors, sometimes we in the church world are not honest when it comes to money. And we're trying to steal money. Listen, God, I think God is going to deal with pastors and evangelists a little more harshly. If you look in the Old Testament, what the Bible says about false shepherds and false prophets, you don't want to be a false shepherd or false prophet. So if you're stealing from God's people in that way, you are putting yourself in danger. That being said, there is another way we steal and we rob from God. The only Italian book in the Bible, Malachi 3. It's Malachi. I just say that as a joke. Malachi 3. 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. In the temple, it says in the New Living Translation, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The only place in the Bible where God basically says, I dare you. Test me. I dare you. Try it. And those of you who are tithers, I know you don't get it. You don't get how it works. You don't get how you give your 10%. And somehow you still pay the bills. And somehow, because people say, I can't afford to tithe. And you talk to tithers. Tithers will tell you, I know, that's how it works. When you tithe, somehow God makes it work for you. And people get all upset. I can't believe you're talking about tithing. I can't believe that you will preach something, an Old Testament truth. And I go, the Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament. Creation is in the Old Testament. Noah's Ark is in the Old Testament. David and Goliath is in the Old Testament. It's funny how Christians love everything in the Old Testament except tithing. Then they freak out and go, no, you can't teach it. It's Old Testament. Well, so's a lot of other stuff that we really believe. But if you prefer, there is a New Testament way of giving. In the Old Testament, there's tithing. In the New Testament, they brought everything they had, sold all their possessions, and they just put it all together and shared with each other. So if you would like to go sell your home and your car, come back next week, you can do the New Testament way. I would say tithe. And Jesus even says, Matthew 23:23, look at this. Jesus talking now. He's talking to the religious people. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. So they were being real meticulous. They're tithing ridiculous stuff. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Now, people usually will stop right there and say, see, tithing's not a big deal. Justice, mercy, and faith. That's what Jesus cares about, but they just three words. Jesus said, you should tithe. Yes, but do not neglect the more important things. It'd be as if you were here given 10% every Sunday, but you are a very hateful person, unloving person. You didn't treat anybody kind at all, but you thought you were okay in God's eyes because you were given your 10%, and God would go, no, there are more important things than your 10%. However, you should tithe. Now, we've talked about this is how we rob God, by not tithing. We can dance around the whole 10% thing. Is it legalistic to say 10%? Can people give 3%? Can people give 15%? We can dance all around that. I think that what I call tithing is your regular giving. Tithing is regular giving. I get money from somewhere, a paycheck, whatever. I get money somewhere, and I willingly give a percentage to the local church. It's an Old Testament principle. It's a New Testament principle. It's a principle today. Your tithe goes to your local church. Your tithe goes to the church that you attend where you get fed. I've said it all the time. If you go out to lunch here and you eat at Applebee's, you don't walk across the street and pay Chili's. You pay where you eat. So if this is your home church, you get money, you give back to your local church. And the tithes are for operating the local church. Now, you may not trust me. You may not trust us. Well, that's a big issue. You need to get to know me and trust me. We make a big deal about this. We meet every other month. A whole group of us now, guys, we get together. We go line item by line item. We go penny by penny. We have a bookkeeper that watches every penny. We know where it all goes. We are accountable. I can tell you this. I'm not really afraid of you guys as far as am I handling the money, right? Because I got other people to be afraid of. I'm afraid of God if we're mishandling the money. So it's a big deal, a really, really big deal. If someone gives something and they earmark it for something, it goes automatically to that thing that you earmarked it for. So you trust. Now, I got to get this verse. I think I missed it in the first service. But watch this verse. Here's the two sides. I have manipulative evangelists and pastors, and I have stingy believers. And they're both dealt with in this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. That's it. I'm going to tell you biblically. I'm not going to tell you how much to give. You decide in your own heart. And here's the thing. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And there's both sides. Don't give under pressure. In fact, the more an evangelist presses me to give, the less I will give. If they want to pass the offering bucket five times because they didn't get enough in the first one, I'm not giving the other four. The Bible tells me to not give under pressure, but it also tells me to not give reluctantly, to not be stingy, but to give freely and to give what God puts on your heart to give. Here's the old saying. I know people say you keep saying that. This is absolutely true of every church. If everybody that attended the chapel tithed, we'd never have to ask for money. Never, ever. If everyone just tithed. So I challenge you today. Consider, are you robbing God with your tithes? Now I want to move on, and you say thank you for moving on. There are other things, other ways that we steal that aren't material. But these are bigger. I'm building up to the big deals now. Because you steal from someone if you take part of their reputation. And you do that by saying false things about them. You say that by going along with gossip, rumors, things you may or may not that are true about somebody. But you're now going to be a part of it. You might be starting it. And you're stealing something from them that really is more precious to them than any of their money. They probably would rather you steal their bank account. If you've ever had this happen to you, you know what it feels like. I have. I know. I honestly thought when I started this church in 1999 that I was going to be the type of pastor that no one would ever go trash talk. And that lasted about a month. There are people in this community right now saying things about me that are not true. And I know it because I hear it. Things maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something happened. And I'm not a perfect human being, so maybe I didn't respond in a certain situation well, but they judged me, they judged my heart, and they made a judgment. And now they go out and they're sharing things about me that aren't true. Now, I can't go fix that. I can't go find everybody they told or everybody they're talking to. It's just not possible. I don't want to try to put out some campaign and right the wrongs. But they're stealing from my reputation. And there are people now who see me in a wrong way because of something. If you're doing that to somebody, man, that's serious. You're stealing from their integrity, their honesty, their reputation. And that's a serious deal. We need to make sure we are not people who are going along with that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to say this, knowing that I have different ages in the room. So I'm trying to handle this delicately. And I almost didn't keep this in the message, but I just felt like God wanted me to put this in the message. But we steal from someone when we steal their purity. Someone's purity can be stolen, can be taken from you. Now, we live in an age where it's freely given away. And that's a different issue. If you are one who is just freely giving away your purity, that's a different issue. But you can. There are people who it is stolen from them for different reasons. Peer pressure, pressure to conform, pressure to, well, everybody else is doing it. I think one of the biggest ways is the pressure to keep a relationship. Because I've had people, I've counseled people who have said, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm doing this in my relationship and I don't want to do it anymore. But I feel like if I don't do it, I'm going to lose this person. And I love this person so much. And that other person's using that to keep that relationship. And I'm telling you, like I've told them, you tell them no. I mean, this is a major boundary line, a major. You're crossing a personal, intimate boundary line. And it's something God has given us all that's precious and unique, and you need to hold on to it and defend it. And if that person wants to continue to go past that boundary line and doesn't respect your boundaries on that issue, then that's not the person for you. That's a person to let go. It's a sensitive area if you're that type of person that you are trying to cross someone's boundaries in that area. You need to respect that person's boundaries. It's really what it comes down to, all of this, is boundaries. Have you read the book, Boundaries? If you haven't, man, I really recommend these books. Cloud and Townsend, Henry Cloud and John Townsend wrote this book years ago called Boundaries. Christian psychologists, counselors. Major book, guys. From a Christian biblical perspective, they teach you that you get to set your boundaries. You're in charge. These are your boundaries. And if you have healthy boundaries, you're going to have healthy relationships. If you don't have healthy boundaries and you're letting people all the time come into your boundaries, and then you're going to have codependent relationships. You're going to have major problems. This is a great book to read, Boundaries. It also teaches you to respect other people's boundaries. To make sure, because you might be the type of person, you're always letting people into your boundaries, or you might be the type of person that's always butting into everybody else's boundaries. Well, you're crossing over, you're always trying to take charge. You're not, when they say no or whatever reason, you're just, and if you're that type of person, you need to step back and say, you know what? I need to step back and respect you right now, emotionally, physically, in every way, boundaries. So each person, we are responsible for our own boundaries. And we ought to set up our boundaries. It is not a bad thing at all to have boundaries. Emotional abuse happens when I don't respect your boundaries and I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing. It becomes emotional abuse. It becomes mental abuse. And let me tell you, there are marriages that maybe there's no physical abuse going on, but there's so much emotional abuse and mental abuse going on that I will, as a pastor, say, y'all need to separate until this person, this controlling person, gets some counseling. It's abuse. It's mental abuse. It's emotional abuse. We need to set up our own boundaries. Probably today, when you all were getting out of your cars and coming in to the church, it probably sounded a lot like this. beep, 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 beep. Because we all get out of our cars. I know Andrew, my son's in college now. He was all upset that his car had a wimpy alarm. Meep. He wanted one that, you know, was real manly. We hit the buttons on our cars and all these noises go off. That's because we're protecting our property. When you go home, you lock the doors. Now, I grew up in a neighborhood. When I grew up, honestly, we had a screen door and we didn't have air conditioning. So we left the door open to get a breeze all night long. You don't do that anymore. Somewhere in my young child years, we started locking the doors. You lock the doors, you lock, because you want to protect yourself and protect your possessions. Well, personally, we all need to protect ourselves and respect other people's boundaries so that we are not stealing anything from them, physically, emotionally, and then I'll wrap it up spiritually. There's nothing Satan would love more than to steal your connection with God. That's what I have. I have a connection with God through Jesus Christ. There's a God who loves me. I have a broken relationship. I come to the cross. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sin. He rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but I believe that by faith, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm now connected to God. Satan would love nothing more than to steal that. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us about him in John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. There's Satan's job description. Satan is not getting ready for a big cake party in hell. I know people don't really believe that, but they act like they believe that. Oh, can't wait. That's where all my buddies are. You can't really believe that. There is no cake party waiting. Satan has, these three things he wants to do. He wants to steal. Now, what does he want to steal? Your connection to God. Because if he can get you to say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he has stolen your connection to God. Now what does he want to do? He wants to kill you before you change your mind. Steal and kill. Because if he can kill you while you are rejecting Jesus Christ, now he has destroyed you for all eternity. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal. That's his goal. He doesn't care if you go to church or not. He doesn't care if you're a Satanist or not or an atheist. He doesn't care. All he cares about is that he has stolen your connection. And it's interesting. I never thought of it this way. But Satan here is doing what I'm preaching on. He is going beyond boundaries that were set. He's trying to steal something that does not belong to him, which is you, me, humanity. He didn't create anybody. Satan is created. He was created. He didn't create us. God himself formed us, formed humanity with his hands, breathed life into us. We are his children. We belong to him. And Satan now wants to steal away what belongs to God. And there are those who are accepting that proposition. And they're rejecting Jesus Christ, and Satan is stealing them away. He hates God. He hates humanity. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's his purpose. Now, in closing, I just want to talk about, as I'm going down 10:9-8, these commandments are all worship issues. These are how we worship God and how we live a life of worship. I don't covet. I'm thankful. I don't lie. I tell the truth. I don't steal. I respect boundaries. But it's also the opposite is true. If I don't do these things, then I'm not worshiping God. If I am a thief, if I am a liar, if I am covetous, I am now not worshiping God properly. And this is a heart check for us this morning. Where do we fit in this stealing topic? Most likely, you're not going to break into a car, break into a house. But probably in one of the ways I've mentioned, and maybe a way the Holy Spirit will put on your heart that I didn't even mention, he'll show you that you are stealing. You are being a thief in some way. I want to give you one scripture that will help give you a heart check on this issue. Matthew 6:19-21. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Anything here on earth you're putting your treasure in, thieves can come in some way. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. It just depends on where my treasure is. If my treasure is on this earth and my treasure is the stuff here, the relationships here, this is my world, this is where my treasure is, get ready. Because it can be stolen, it can decay, it can be destroyed. But if my treasure is not here, my treasure is in this heaven to come. Look, I'll love this earth. God blesses me. I'll have this house. We've got a car. You know, we live near the beach. I'm going to love it while I'm here. But I am not going to get so attached to this world here because this all can be taken away. It can all be lost. There are people who had everything who lost everything. My treasure has to be in heaven so that I can say, as Paul said, hey, if I have a little, if I have a lot, I've learned how to be content. And when my treasure is there and my heart is there, when the temptation comes to steal, I'll just think, you know, I don't even need that. Why would I steal? Why would I even put myself in that situation? I don't need it, God. Thank you for blessing me with what I have. Practical message. I want to pray for you and I want to pray for those who need to receive Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word. Help us in all of these different areas to respect our boundaries and other people's boundaries. God, I pray for those who need to receive you today as Lord and Savior. Help them to know that these Ten Commandments are not just life principles. These work when we have a relationship with you, God, through Jesus Christ. That's step number one. Does anybody here, you want to receive Jesus? You're just going to pray that you believe everything the Bible says about him. If that's you today, I pray Holy Spirit will keep you from being afraid, doubting, confused, and just press through that. And that faith that is inside of you, you'll have the strength to just pray it out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You just pray, talk to God, and just say, God, say these words in your heart, believe them. God, I believe in you. I believe you are real, and I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me for the things I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. I thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name.